puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, it's time now once again for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello to Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Corey.
So what are we discussing this week?
We're going to meet a Manitoban whose Brandon business is now on the verge of abandonment. But in its heyday, the business offered fast food, as well as fine dining, cocktails, and refined entertainment. Near the end, though, the business was reduced to a site at the corner of Highway 10 and the Trans-Canada. We're talking today about Barney's Motel in Brandon.
Okay, so who was Barney?
He was a man named Gabriel Charles Mollo.
Wait. So you said his name's Gabriel, but then how did he come to be owner of Barney's Motel?
I put this question to Barney's daughter, Deanne Morse, who I spoke to recently, and she says that early in his life, Barney worked on the family farm in the barn, so they called him Barney. Now, it's been my experience that a lot of people, especially it seems in rural Manitoba, are given nicknames early in their life, and they're rarely, if ever, referred to by their real names. Barney's son-in-law, who married Deanne, was named Marvin, but nobody called him that. He was known universally as Joe. The Morse family also included Buck, Zach, Tip, and Bump, but none of these were their real names.
I love those. Oh, why all the nicknames?
Who knows? But, you know, it is a very common practice that still exists today. Well, anyway, we come back to Barney. Born in 1905, he was a Francophone, and he attended St. Boniface College here in Winnipeg. And by the time he was 34, Barney was married, he was the father of two young children, and he was a successful businessman. He operated a grocery store in the village of Fanestel. Unfortunately, in early 1939, his home was destroyed by a catastrophic fire. A Winnipeg newspaper carried a graphic account of what happened, but I'll spare our listeners and say only that Barney's 27-year-old wife and his 3-year-old son died as a result of that fire.
That's tragic. What did Barney do?
Well, he sent his 6-year-old daughter, Deanne, who survived the fire through the heroic efforts of Barney's housekeeper, to live with her grandmother. And Barney, well, he moved to Brandon, and he later remarried, although he had no more children. 3 years after the fire, he opened a restaurant in Brandon called the Terminal Snack Shop. It was located in the newly opened Greyhound bus terminal. Way back in 2020, in this series, we talked about the intercity buses that were becoming a major form of public transportation in the 1930s and 1940s. So Barney was really riding a wave. He was in the right place at the right time to capitalize on the hungry people who rode the buses and therefore would eat in his restaurant.
So I'm guessing his restaurant did pretty well then?
Oh, exceptionally well. And, you know, Barney became a well-known public figure in Brandon, so much so that in 1950, he renamed the restaurant Barney's Grill. You know, I suspect it was to take advantage of his name recognition.
So as a public figure, what kind of public activities was Barney involved in?
Well, in 1948, in partnership with four other men, he started a professional baseball team called the Brandon Grays, and he was its business manager. Barney traveled throughout the United States to recruit players for the team, and apparently he hired several of them who had played in the Negro League.
And what's that league all about?
Well, until 1947, when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball, blacks were not allowed to play with whites on American professional teams. So many exceptional players got their start in the Negro League. In addition to hiring black players for his team, Barney also hired Hispanic players from Cuba. Of course, Cuba has a really big baseball culture as well. Well, as a result of this infusion of real incredible baseball talent, the Brandon Grays were an absolutely formidable team in their first couple of years. Unfortunately, the club, although it succeeded on the field, it didn't succeed financially, and it folded in 1955. But by that time, Barney was also known for promoting other pro sports in Brandon.
Like what?
Well, for 3 years, from 1948 to 1951, Barney was also the business manager of a team. Well, it's proven more successful in the long run, the Brandon Wheat Kings hockey team. You know, this is why I think by the early 1950s, Barney was just so well known in Brandon. You know, he had brought professional grade baseball and hockey to the Wheat City, but perhaps his most memorable achievement was yet to come when in 1953, he opened Western Manitoba's first drive-in restaurant. And of course, the whole idea is when you sat in your car to eat, they'd bring the food out to you. Called Barney's Drive-In, it was situated at the southwest corner of the intersection of Highway 10 and the Trans-Canada Highway. A great spot. You know, it could attract customers from those who are passing by on the highway. And it was also very popular for Brandonites for eating, but just as much for socializing.
So what kind of food did Barney serve?
Well, it was the usual fast food, things like burgers and hot dogs. But he also had things like fried chicken, barbecued spare ribs, deep fried shrimp, sandwiches, well, even soft ice cream. In fact, Barney's was the first place in Manitoba outside Winnipeg to serve something called Choose a Treat. That was a method by which you could have any flavor of soft ice cream you wanted, including some really strange ones.
What kind of like flavors are we talking about here with this Choose a Treat?
They had the traditional flavors, you know, chocolate, strawberry, that kind of thing. But they also had flavors like onion and dill pickle. I mean, go figure. Dill pickle ice cream?
Ugh. Yeah, gross. Sorry to disrupt you with the ice cream flavors there, Gordon. So carry on. What happened next?
Barney's Drive-In, well, it featured 24-hour curbside service. And then later that year, 1953, Barney and his partners added something called the Ranch House for indoor dining. And it featured a Western theme. So it had things like the Steer Room. That was for light lunches and coffee. And later, for more formal dining, they had the Fabulous Saddle Room, which featured things like prime rib, steak, and turkey dinners. But the biggest expansion occurred in the early 1960s when Barney added a 375-seat banquet hall and a 50-person campfire lounge that featured nightly entertainment by local singers and musicians. Finally, in 1964, Barney moved across the Trans-Canada Highway to the northwest corner and opened Barney's Motel.
So was it Brandon's first motel then?
It wasn't the very first, but compared to today, you know, if you've ever driven the Trans-Canada Highway through Brandon, it is literally cheek to jowl with motels. So by comparison to that, you know, his was definitely one of the first. Initially, it had 18 rooms, but of course, Barney always thought big. He had plans for another 40 rooms, and then soon afterwards, he put in a swimming pool that was installed for the benefit of his guests, but I'm told his grandsons, who were doted upon by Barney, they loved playing in the pool too. Unfortunately, just as Barney was retiring from a long and successful business career in 1967, a second major fire destroyed the entirety of Barney's Drive-In, the dining room, the banquet hall, the lounge. Just the hotel was left unscathed.
Did Barney stay in Brandon after retirement?
No. For a time, he retired back to Fanestel, but I think the winters were kind of getting to him, so he did spend quite a few winters in California, and I'm told by his daughter that he was very active there in developing a golf course. You know, see, he remained very much the businessman. He died in Winnipeg in 1987 and was buried beside his first wife, the one who had died in that terrible fire. He's buried in the Fanestel Cemetery.
What a life. Well, you hinted earlier, actually, that his business was on the verge of abandonment. So what is the status now of Barney's Motel?
Well, its connection to Barney's business empire lasted just 4 years. But Barney's, as an entity, remained in operation for decades. I mean, I went by there hundreds of times. And it was always, you know, that familiar sight when you're coming up to Brandon, you'd see Barney's Motel. You know, and I think it's a common sight for even today. The years, however, have not been kind to Barney's. When I was in Brandon a couple of months ago, it was closed. There was a large patch of shingles missing from its roof. And in fact, there was a very prominent realty sign that was advertising the land for sale. Very conspicuously, the land. The buildings, well, not so much. And all of this suggests to me that Barney's is not long for this world. You know, it is a valuable property sitting where it does, right at the intersection of 10 and 1. And it wouldn't surprise me if another motel pops up on the site. But, you know, when Barney's is gone, Brandon will have lost. It's, you know, its last reminder of a really charismatic businessman who I suspect introduced many, many people in Western Manitoba to fast food, to fine dining, and of course, professional sports.
Yeah. I mean, next time I think of the Wheat Kings, I'm going to think of Barney.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what will we be talking about in 2 weeks?
We're going to visit a place on the shore of Lake Winnipeg that offered plenty of fresh air and sunshine for generations of children.
We'll look forward to hearing it there, Gordon. Thanks for joining us this morning.
You're quite welcome. We'll talk again in 2 weeks. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.